Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for joining us today. We're going to be turning our attention to the book of Psalms here in just a little bit. We're going to be in Psalm 51. If you want to have your Bibles ready and a pen handy, we'll start that study shortly as we continue our study through the New Testament. Before we get going, we want to remind you of events that are going on that we have been made aware of in the Brotherhood. There are a few things that we are looking forward to, and even tonight, the Summer Youth Series in Northeast Texas continues, and this Summer Youth Series tonight will be at 7 p.m. at the College Street Congregation in Paris, Texas. Then also, Camp Ida is continuing. We still have two more sessions after this week. And then we'll have the coming up Sunday, the fourth session with J.J. Hendricks will begin. His is a leadership camp. It'll begin on the 25th and it'll run through the 30th. Then the fifth and final session will be with Brian Braswell, which will start on July the 2nd and run through the 7th. And his theme this year for his session is going to be Christian character. You can go to campida.com. There you can find the forms that are needed, the registration forms. Get those in. There are still spots available for those final two sessions. Your child will have an opportunity to go. Also, on the 24th through the 30th at the Memphis School of Preaching, the foundation camp is going to be going on. I'm sure that they are already full, but you may be able to call and find out. Go to msop.org. There you'll find a link for foundations. You give them a call, 901-751-2242. This year's theme, Are You Ready? 24th through the 30th. If you have not made plans this year and you missed out, make sure you plan ahead because that is a wonderful event. Also, at the same time, 25th through the 30th, the Southwest School of Bible Study in Austin, Texas is having a similar camp, the Southwest Servants Academy, and this will be Treasures in Earthen Vessels. You can go to swsbs.edu and there find the Southwest Servants Academy link, and the application is there. Again, it is getting close to the time, so a lot of these spots are being filled, but you may be able to give them a call. Also, go ahead and mark that calendar for the South Haven, at the South Haven Church of Christ, for the Power Lectures. This year, the 2017 Power Lectures will be July the 23rd through the 27th. The theme, The End of Time. You can go to southhavencoc.org for more information about that lectureship. If you want, just go ahead and give them a call, 662-393-2690. And then I know it's a good ways out, but mark your calendars, August the 18th through the 24th. This is going to be Polishing the Pulpit. It is at the Sevierville Convention Center in Sevierville, Tennessee. Go to polishingthepulpit.com for the calendar, for the schedule, and for answers to all your frequently asked questions about Polishing the Pulpit. It is a wonderful event, so hopefully you can attend and be uplifted and encouraged. Well, that's what we have on the bulletin board this morning. Maybe you're aware of something. Do us a favor. Shoot us an email, mornings@tgrn.org. Again, that's mornings@tgrn.org. And we'll do our very best to get it on the air in a timely manner. I'm going to take just a moment break. We'll be back and begin our study in a moment. Stay with us.
Where you may loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Good morning and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, I'm your host, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for being with us today. We're going to continue our study through the Old Testament. Today, we're in the book of Psalms. More specifically, we are in Psalm 51. We're going to be taking a look at David. And in this psalm that David has penned, great information for us. This is from the pen of the shepherd boy who became king, the king who fell. We find him early on when he was that in Acts chapter 13. Paul speaks and says that of David, that God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. But by the time he becomes king, and we get to 2 Samuel chapter 11, the life of David takes a tragic turn here, and it tells us that it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And so Nathan would later, after all this transpires, where he finds out that he's now going to be found out because this child is there. He brings, he brings Uriah back home and tries to set it up where Uriah may believe that the child would be his own, but he would not go into his wife while his brothers of arms were out in the field. He wouldn't do it. And so finally, what does he do? He sends word, David does, to his trusted servant Joab by the hand of Uriah himself, a death warrant, and has Uriah killed. Later, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, it is finally when brave Nathan confronts David with the statement, "Thou art the man," that David then says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And here, this song that we're going to look at this morning, this Psalm 51, is a song, and it is a song of repentance. A man after God's own heart is now going to appeal to God, and he's going to have to do it with a broken heart. And this may be one of his greatest songs that he has written. Notice the first thing that we see. The first thing that he does in verses 1 and 2 is he appeals to God for mercy. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin." He now makes this appeal that God would be merciful to him. "Have mercy upon me." Not because of who David is, but because of who God is, the merciful God. Why? Because he says, "Have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness." Psalm 103 reminds us of that loving kindness. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." The God of loving kindness is who he appealed to. "Have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." We keep reading Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful, there beginning in verse number 8, "and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." He will always chide. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's had his tender mercy. Psalm 79, verse 8, "Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let your tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low." In Psalm 119, verse 77, "Let your tender mercies come unto me, that I may live." Psalm 145, in verse number 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Yeah, over all his creation, he shows this tender mercy. Paul would put it this way in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his love wherewith he has loved us." God extends this tender mercy, his loving kindness, through Jesus the Christ. But when we look at David and we see this man of God, this man who was after God's own heart, when he had fallen, when he had acknowledged, realized his sin, the first thing that he does is he appeals to God to extend mercy. But in order to do so, he does what he needs to. He acknowledges his sin. "For," he says in verses 3 through 6, "for I acknowledged my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts, and you shall make me to know wisdom. He says, I have acknowledged my transgression. There's not a question here. He's not vague in his statement. Well, if I have sinned, or if I have offended, or if, he says, I have sinned. That's what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. I have sinned against the Lord. So I acknowledged my transgression. Psalm 32 verse 5, he says, I acknowledged my sin unto you, and my iniquity I have not hid. He goes on, I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. In Nehemiah 1 verse 6, Nehemiah says, let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both I and my father's house have sinned. Nehemiah confesses the transgression. James said, we must, James 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's the A part. We often quote the B part. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. But there is a need to acknowledge. Say what God has already said. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, I have acknowledged my sins, and against you and you only have I sinned. This is the sin that Joseph refused to commit. In Genesis 39, remember he said in verse number 9, there is none greater in this house other than I, and neither has he kept back anything from me but you. This is him speaking, Joseph speaking to Potiphar's wife, because you are his wife, and how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He then, David, verses 1 and 2, appealed to God for mercy. Verses 3 through 6, he acknowledged that he had sinned. And now, verses 7 through 12, he asks God to cleanse him. Purge me, verses 7 and following. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Do not hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Purge me, wash me, renew a right spirit, restore me. This is what he's crying out for, because he is in a place right now with the sin that he has committed, which caused a separation. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. the sin that is committed needs to be taken care of. Because the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, he can wash away all sin. Isaiah or Jeremiah 2 and verse 22 says, we can't do it ourselves. He says, though you wash yourself with much nitre and take much soap, he said, yet your iniquities are marked before me, says the Lord God. You can't do it. But God says, I will. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, come let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool. James says that when we draw nigh to God, he's going to draw near to us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do we do so? Well, we do so through Jesus Christ. No matter what we have done, there is the possibility of having them washed away through the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning of verse 9, Paul says to the church there, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were washed. Titus 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercies he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He has washed us, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, from our sins in his own blood. You see, we contact that blood when we are buried with Christ. We're buried with Christ, Romans 6, 3, and 4, in baptism. It's the new birth that takes place, that Nicodemus was told when he came to Jesus in the middle of the night. It's the washing that the Apostle Paul records for us, or recounts for us, rather, of the events that transpired when he was better known as Saul the persecutor in Acts 9, when he has told, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. He is going to be baptized. He's going to wash away his sins in the blood of Christ. And in doing so, in that moment in time, he is calling upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans chapter 10 states. And here he does just that. He is washed by the blood. As every person who will ever be saved, their sins will be forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ has the power to keep on cleansing. 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, here we have David. David, who has, yes, he's a man after God's own heart, but David is a man who has committed great sin. He looks at the woman and lusts after her. He finds out that she's a married woman and he still has sexual relations with her. He then, in order to try to cover it up, lies about it. That doesn't work. He then tries to get the man drunk. That doesn't work. He then has the man murdered, and now he is separated from God because of sin, and he wants to take care of it. And he appeals, first of all, to God for mercy. He acknowledges the fact that he has sinned. He has then asked God to cleanse him from that sin, and he will then afterwards abide in God's righteousness. Notice what he says in verses 13 and following. Then I will teach the transgressor your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, you God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you desire not sacrifice, else I would give it. You delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good in thy pleasure unto Zion. Build you the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt you be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and with whole burnt offerings, and then shall they offer bullocks upon your altar. David is now going to change. I'm going to teach the transgressors. They're going to be converted because of these things. I will teach. My tongue will sing aloud. He is bringing forth, as we see in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet of repentance. And he is bringing forth fruits of repentance. And he says, I'm going to make the change. It's a contrite heart. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, and I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to receive the heart of the contrite ones. He has this broken heart. So when we look at the psalm and we look at David, the man after God's own heart, we can note several things. In the first few verses, he appeals to God for this mercy. The God, according to his loving kindness and the multitudes of his tender mercies, he makes the appeal. He acknowledges the fact that he has sinned. I acknowledge my transgression, and it was against you, God. I think sometimes we acknowledge the fact and recognize the fact of the pain that our sin causes our fellow man, but we forget at times the pain that it causes the Father. He acknowledged it. He asked God for cleansing. Purge me, wash me, renew my spirit, restore unto me. And only God could offer this. And only God could cleanse. And God still does today by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he then says that he would change. There would be fruits of repentance. I will abide in God's righteousness now. We've got to make those necessary changes in our lives. Well, there's Psalm 51. Hopefully today, as we look at this psalm, you take something away from it. 12 verses is all we have. And I appreciate you being with us in this study this morning. Till next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
Oh, You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.